highlighting the amazing things that young people are doing in our community. And today is no exception. We have five amazing young people who are a part of the local cycling community. And I'll be honest, I did not know anything about this. Obviously, we have the Kenosha Velodrome, but the individual stories that you're going to hear today are going to inspire you. They're going to touch you and make you question what you're doing with your life because their schedules are so full. that's what happened with me. So let's go around the room. We have five young people here. Say your names and your ages. We'll start with you, Gabriel.
Gabriel, I'm 13 years old.
My name is Carter Kaz, and I'm 16 years old.
My name is Mia, and I am 16 years old.
My name is Lucy, and I'm 13 years old.
My name is Cedric, and I'm 16 years old.
Wow. So young. That's what I'm thinking. My goodness. So I'm going to throw questions out there, and like I said, jump on. Whoever wants to go first can answer. Talk about how you got involved in cycling. Is it something that you were introduced to? Did you see it online, on YouTube? What made you get involved in cycling?
So we're family of friends with a guy named Robbie Gauss, and his whole family is really into cycling. So his dad started coaching him when he was a kid, and his brother Willie, and he kind of picked me up and got me into it when I was 9 at the Monday night stock bike racing at the Velodrome.
So when I'm family friends with the same family, but I was more introduced by Robbie's daughter, Olivia, when I was 3 years old at the Monday Night Stock program. And just from there, I got a scholarship onto the Kenosha Bell Sport team, and then I've just been racing since then.
So let's take a step back because I'm clueless. So let's start with the stock team. So explain kind of what you do with that.
Okay, so it's for anybody that wants to race on Monday nights. It's like we have little kids on tricycles on our warm-up track that will race. There are usually less people above 13, but it's for the kids mainly, but anyone can come and race.
Right, so it's kind of just like an open thing. And so you just got involved doing that?
Yeah.
Wow. How about you, Gabriel?
How did I start?
Yeah.
Well, my dad, he did a lot of cycling when he was a little kid. And then after a while, he just stopped doing it for a while. But then one day he came to us and he said, you know, you guys don't do that many sports. Would you like to try cycling? And then we just started doing cycling again.
How about you, Carter?
When I moved here, I played football and I did track. And I was trying to find something to do during the off season, you know, to keep myself in shape and everything. And my uncle, one of my uncle's friends told my uncle about this cycling team, which, I mean, I've seen, like, the Tour de France on TV and everything, but I never actually thought, like, oh, there's a team that I can join to do that. So he told me about Kenosha Velosport, and I tried just the winter training, which is really just riding a bike indoors. And I really liked doing that, and then I ended up racing during the spring and quitting football and my other sports because cycling ended up being more fun.
Really? Okay, so that's the first time I've ever heard that. I've never heard someone turn down like a more mainstream sport like football for cycling. What was it, a concussion related issue? All of that kind of noise that was going out?
I mean, I got injured in football and I got injured in cycling, and I could have done football this year if I wanted to, but I really told my coaches that, I mean, in cycling I'm getting better and better, and you know, now people in here are going to nationals along with me, so I thought that cycling would give me more opportunities than football probably would.
Interesting. How about you, Cedric?
So I got into cycling because my dad is from France. So in France, it's pretty popular to, you know, bike. So when he came here back in the 90s, he kind of gave up cycling. But then as me and my brother got older, he was like, oh, why don't we do this? So we looked for a team in Kenosha. We found Kenosha Velosport, and we started racing back 3-4 years ago.
Wow. That's just so interesting. So it seems like family was a big, and family and relatives were kind of big in getting you into that. Is that kind of common with other kids who are participating, that it's someone that really introduces them, that kind of gets them into it?
Yeah, I mean, on my team, I mean, my uncle and my cousin both joined my team. So, I mean, families are, it's a really big family thing. You know, families will come down to races and support you, and, you know, they'll bring snacks and food, which is really nice because you get really hungry during that.
I can imagine.
It's really good because you meet other people, and, I mean, outside of races even, you'll hang out with their families, and it's really nice.
Yeah, it's that, and we like to encourage, like, us kids, like, we like to encourage other kids or even adults to come and race because sometimes, like, it's, like, you don't want to just hear it from your parents. Like, come race. Like, you want to hear from other kids how fun it is.
So I guess that kind of leads me. We're going to talk about you guys competed in state, and then you're going to junior nationals, which is a huge, huge honor. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. I want to touch on kind of family. You mentioned, you know, obviously your parents have to take you to these races. How supportive have they been throughout this process for you?
Family has been, like, really important and a huge support, you know, and I would consider the teams as well, like Kenosha Cutters and Kenosha Velosport, as, like, family, too. So having everybody there, like, to support you and offer you to give you rides, go out for rides, is really super nice.
So I'm going to take – thank you for mentioning that. I want to take a step back. So you start doing these kind of open races. How do you get recruited to one of the teams? There's the Cutters and then Velosport.
You usually start on a team, I've noticed. Like, you kind of don't go out and race. Like, I've noticed, like, you start winter training, and then in the spring, you go race for that team.
Oh, okay.
There's not really a recruitment program. You don't have to, like, be a certain level to get on a team. You know? You just, if you see the two teams and, oh, I kind of like the way this team does things, or if, you know, we do different things different ways. So it really just, it's a preference.
Right. So let's talk about the training process. I was talking with Jen, who is Mia's mother, and she was saying that this is a year-long thing. I just thought you guys got – I mean, and again, I'm clueless. You got your bike. She went out and raced. You know, yay, you know, and everyone's happy. But you trained 365 days, nearly a year.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that.
Yeah, so racing really starts – well, there's really two types of racing that our teams deal with. It's track racing and road racing. Road racing usually starts around March, and it goes throughout the spring and summer. And track racing will start in May, usually, in the middle of May, and end around August. And in between then, you can, you know, do different things like mountain biking or cyclocross and all that sorts of stuff. But during the winter, we set our bikes up on these things called trainers, which adds resistance to your back wheel and keeps you in place. And then our team usually trains 3 days a week together, and then our coach will write us a training program to follow outside of training with the team. And we usually get maybe one or two off days a week. So you're training a lot.
Do you ever want to, I mean, hell, I mean, I do this well. I do this job, and I do it. I love radio. I've been doing it since I was 13 years old, and I sit. And some days I go, I don't want to go in. So are there days where you're like, my body can't take this?
Yeah, well, our coach is actually really good with, because both of our coaches on both teams have done this, and they have raced. So they know at what point they should be pushing us. And so they will give us, like, recovery rides, or you've been training really hard for the past 2 weeks. Now you take a recovery week or you take a week off. So they're really good at, you know, kind of gauging how much we can do for our training and not pushing us too hard.
So let's start with you, Cedric. You know, you do this, you know, all year round. What have you learned about yourself?
I don't know. It's just you know, being able to do this day after day, because it's 5 to 6 days a week that we're training.
Wow.
And we're doing this all year long. We train at the UAW in the winter, and then we train outside during the summer. So, I don't know, it's just the ability to, you know, get back up every day and go race, or go train.
You don't have any moments where you're like, I can't do it?
Yeah, but we...
Everyone has those moments.
Yeah, so that does happen, but, you know, you get maybe a week off sometimes if you're on vacation, or so you just kind of, and it's really a passion sport, so you need to be into it to really, you know, mm-hmm. to commit.
I mean, we mentioned the Tour de France earlier. I mean, that's most people's only interaction with cycling. What would you say to someone who's, you know, hearing this for the first time about what it does for children, what it does for kids your age, the benefits?
I mean, it's It's a safe environment. The parents, I mean, they're into it, but it's not, because with football, you know, you have some of those issues.
Actually, I'm going to take a side tour. So we live stream sports on our Facebook Live page. So we have football, we have basketball, and during in the comment sections, we had parents using racial slurs at other team members, and so that is a good point. That happens often.
Yeah. Exactly. In cycling, that doesn't really happen because it's a group. You know everybody. Even if they're on a separate team, you know them really well. It's just kind of a huge family. So
yeah, us five, Mia and I are on a different team than the rest of them, but I'd consider us all family. Like, we all go down. We have our tents right next to each other. We're racing together. We're strategizing together. We're all just, like, we all know each other. We're all, like, best friends down there.
So does that mean you're not competitive?
Oh, no, we're still competitive.
Let's talk about the training regimen. What does a typical day look like? Any one of you can pick on this one. What does a typical training day look like for you?
Kind of depends on what you're doing that week, I guess. Some days are just recovery. You know, other days are hard rides that you got to do, hills or sprints, whatever it is. And then there's easier days where you just spin just to loosen up the legs a bit.
Okay, so I'm going to take a step back here. Recovery means you still ride. That doesn't mean you lay on your butt and watch Netflix.
Well, yeah. Sometimes it means that. But recovery rides, so you know when you're a bike, you have a big chainring and a small one. And recovery rides is usually your coach making sure that you're only in that small one. And just if you spin your legs, you know, you're not really putting too much pressure. You're not in a big gear. It's just kind of getting that lactic acid out of your legs just to keep them moving and make sure they're not cramping up and getting sore while you're laying on your bed. Because that will happen. I've had it happen a lot of times.
Wow.
So, you know, spinning on your bike will actually make sure that your legs don't get completely trashed after doing hard training.
Gabriel, I want to talk to you. Do you have any brothers or who are in other sports or family members who are in other sports?
Yeah, actually, Cedric is my brother.
Yeah. Didn't know that. Wow. So, are you guys competitive?
Well, not against each other because we're in different categories.
Right.
He's 3 years younger than I am, so it's okay. Kind of hard to...
Right. So you really find yourself in kind of a leadership position, kind of training him, or do you find that he does his own thing and you don't try to get involved?
Well, my dad's really involved, so kind of, I guess, gets put onto him, and I'm doing my own thing, and then Gabriel's doing his own thing, but my dad's, you know, training him.
Right.
He's training both of us.
So, Carter, you're in high school.
Yeah.
I think the rest of you are probably entering high school. You're in high school, right?
Sophomore.
What do you say when kids go up to you and they're like, you know, what sport do you play? I'm in cycling. What's the reaction that you get?
Usually they're kind of like, what do you mean? You just ride your bike around? Because they don't understand it. You know, cycling isn't something that schools really support. You know, you go to a school, they're not going to really have a cycling team. Like, I know of one school around here that actually does have a cycling team, and it's for mountain biking. So, you know, because it's more of a club thing, there's not many people that know about it. Like, there's not a lot of high schoolers that do gymnastics. There's maybe two or three because it's not supported by the school. So if certain sports aren't supported by the school that you go to, then it's not going to, you know, be very popular among students.
Hmm. Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing? Because you do have this kind of close-knit community, mm-hmm. and if the school supported it, more people would come in, but then also you'd have the support of a much bigger system.
I think that I know there's certain things where, like, a district will put, like, a district-wide kind of team, which I think that would be a good idea because cycling is not going to be that common because, quite frankly, it's kind of expensive. You need to buy a bike. You need to buy all this gear. You need to pay for races. I mean, it's going to add up to a lot more than most other sports. So I think that if they did, if the district did put together kind of like a city-wide team, it would probably, you know, I think that would work out good.
So let's talk about that, because I did not know about that, the fact that it's expensive. So you have to have, obviously, a top-tier bike. You can't go to Walmart and get a Huffy for $80. So you need to have a good bike. How much does it cost for races? Do you raise money for that?
It depends, because I race the Women's Open and the Juniors category, and it's only around $20. But that's every night, and I get, like, six races out of that, which is pretty good.
Well, each race is, like the women's race is $20, and then the juniors race is like $10.
Yeah,
right?
It really depends on the race and your skill. Like, I'm in the 13-14, so I'd pay like $10 to race three races. And then if I went up to the women's category, I would pay around $20 to race.
Yeah. And that's every Tuesday from May to August. So
do you have sponsorships from local places that help you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you wear their, I'm guessing, emblem on your shirt when you're racing.
Yeah, we have their logos usually like hanging up somewhere to represent them and what they do for us.
Yeah, and we have them on our skin suits. We have all those sponsors along the side.
Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that happened at the local kind of level. How important are the sponsors to what you do?
Very important.
They're
really important. They help us out a lot. I mean, we probably wouldn't be able to be doing what we're doing without them.
We probably couldn't go to Nationals or afford to pay to go to Nationals without sponsors.
Mm-hmm. Good segue. Good timing. Because we're going to talk about their state trip that just happened and Nationals, which are coming up. But you're listening to Generation Now. I'm your host, Troy McDonald. This is WGTD-FM 91.1. We have the amazing group of young people that are involved in cycling. And we just talked about Nationals. Let's talk about how state went for you guys, each of you, and then Nationals.
Well, state went pretty well for me. I won the state championship title this year.
Oh, my God. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, for 15-16, not ever. Because they divide
the races of course,
into
the
age groups.
Right.
Yeah. So I won the overall for 15-16, so that went pretty well for me.
Wow. Did you know you were going to win? Was there a point in the race where you said, I'm going to win this thing?
Well, it's divided up into multiple races. So there's five or six races that you have to win, and then it adds up into the amount of points, and whoever has the most points by the end of that ends up winning. So,
And points are gained by?
By winning races.
Right.
So there's different types of races. There's scratch races, which is just whoever crosses the finish line first wins. There's points races, where there's points awarded every time you cross the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And elimination races, it's really fun on the track.
Well, state went pretty good for me as well. I won the 13-14 girls category.
My goodness. But congratulations.
Thank you. I honestly, that wasn't even my proudest moment of state. I thought that, because I raced up for a team sprint with Mia, and she was my partner. And I feel like we did very good on that because we went up against the Michigan, state champions, and they're very good at sprinting, and I thought we did very good compared to them.
Well, that's interesting that you say that even winning in your category, partnering with Mia was more satisfying to you.
Yeah.
Wow, that takes some perspective. A lot of people would say, I want the damn trophy.
Yeah.
You know, give me my, you know, my recognition. So Cedric, let's go with you. What happened for you at state?
So at state, we had two separate events. We had an overall event, so it was all the kind of the sum total of all of our races. And then we had individual timed events. So that's you're basically going around the track, you know, five or six times or 12 or 20, and they're timing you. And then you're comparing your time to everybody else. So for the overall event, I was racing with Carter in the 15-16 age group, because it's 2 years, so it's 15, 16, 17, 18, et cetera. And I got second overall. He got first. And then we were racing with people from Michigan, but because they're from Michigan, they're not allowed to win our state championship.
Right.
And then, so for the timed events, in the individual pursuit, which is a 9-lap race, I got second, and a guy, a 17-18, actually got first.
Wow, congratulations. That's amazing. How many people are competing in each of these races?
So for our overall event, there was maybe 8 of us.
Okay.
So there's not that many people because
right.
It is an expensive sport.
Right. That's incredible. How about you, Gabriel?
Well, in overall, I came in 4th place. But because there aren't really – I mean, there wasn't really anybody except for me and a guy named Henry that I race against to go for the Wisconsin jersey. So I won that, but overall I came in 4th.
Wow, still great. Still great. I'd still be on the track. Okay. And Mia, how about you?
So at state, my only competition I had were two girls that came down from Michigan. They were really competitive, awesome to race against.
Yeah.
They were really cool. I don't really know what to say.
So let's talk about nationals. So I believe state was actually held here in Kenosha.
Yeah.
So that was pretty huge. Yeah. So to talk about nationals, you're traveling for that. How are the preparations going into that? Obviously, after this show is going to air after nationals. So just talk about your journey getting to nationals.
So for the last couple of months, actually, like the last 6 months, we've all been training to go to nationals. It's a lot of planning for scheduling because we all race at different times there because we are in different age categories and actual racing categories too. So we're trying to plan around that and, you know, hotel cost, and that gets expensive as long as the races do too. So,
right.
We've been like holding off on like other kinds of racing. Like we've been pulled out of like, I've been stopped doing mountain biking and I stopped doing road. Because okay. I don't want any injuries for the nationals.
Right, which would make sense. So obviously sponsors they're helping with the cost to nationals here? Okay. That's good. How do you deal with having a life? Usually in the summer people go on vacation, you know, they're lounging around. And then not only that, you guys are also in school and you have homework, you have to deal with your teachers, all of that responsibility. How do you balance having a life without this consuming your life? Or do you say, you know what, I want this to consume my life. Cycling is my life.
Well, we talk to our coaches. If we have too many things to do in a day, then we're like, you know, we can't practice today. Can you do maybe 45-minute schedule instead of an hour and a half? So it's all about balancing that and being very vocal with your, you know, coaching staff that I can't do it today. I have too much school.
So they understand that. They're open to that.
They understand and they adjust your program accordingly.
But they don't let you off the program.
No. They don't let you off the program.
No. And then, like, my mom, you know, she, I mean, obviously school should come first, and she's a teacher, so she's a very strong believer in that. So what she does is if I have, you know, maybe something missing from school or if I don't get something done, I don't get to race that week. Mm. So if I have a race on Saturday and I have a missing assignment from Tuesday, I have to get that assignment in before then, before Saturday, otherwise I don't get to race. So our families do help us out by balancing out, you know, what we should be doing and what we shouldn't be.
Wow.
And for, like, during the summer, we do, like, juggle a little bit with hanging out with, like, friends or whatever, but usually we hang out with each other. Or at least I hang out with you guys usually.
And you guys said that you guys are like a family, that it is kind of a – so you don't mind that. That's not like I have to see you guys again.
You know? No, I really like seeing them. So.
Yeah, sure. We're very close. And, I mean, we can all say, like, we don't let either part of our life, like, take over. Like, it's very balanced. But, like, in the summers especially, I feel like biking is kind of my life because it's, like, what I want to do. So I'm not, like, it doesn't – like, I don't mind it. Like, it's fine. Because, like she said, like, we do just go hang out with each other. It's not like, oh, cycling, no, we're going to go hang out with each other while we're at the races. It's like, we are always trying to plan things with each other and have a good time together. But, yeah, like how you said vacations. Like, sometimes we even plan around cycling for our vacations.
Jeez. Wow. Do you, obviously this might be a dumb question, but you don't feel like you're missing out on other parts of your life, and you don't feel pressured into doing this? This is something you want to do.
Definitely not.
Because there's a lot of, yeah. I've seen it in football where their kids are out there just because their dad played football or their brother played it, and they're miserable.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I quit. I just, because my dad did play football, and he was a big supporter of me doing that. And the way football is run is just, you know, if you get hurt, oh, put some ice on it and get back out there. Yep. And, you know, the training is really tough for football. And I just didn't enjoy doing it the same thing every single day for 3 months. And just the coaches are just kind of really, really rough on you, even if you did have, like, a legitimate injury. So I told my dad, I'm like, Dad, I'm not doing football anymore. I'd rather do this. And he was a big supporter of it. He's actually happy that I quit football.
Well, I was going to say, because that could cause a lot of strife in some other families, but he was supportive of your
right,
decision.
Right, yeah. I mean, I tell him about, like, what some coaches would be doing. Like, oh, Dad, I got injured, and they're still giving me grief for not going out there. And he's like, well, that is a problem. It wasn't like that before. So, yeah, I mean, football or other sports, you know, it's probably a good thing that decided to do something else because the coaches for cycling are a lot more understanding and they're, you know, looking out for your well-being and not looking out entirely and worrying about the team and everything and if you're going to win.
Right. I cannot tell you how many times I've seen, as we broadcast the football games, coaches slam their headsets down, get in the faces of people. Makes great television, but probably not good for morale purposes. We have a few minutes left here, so I want to touch on kind of what you think cycling has done for your life. And do you see yourself continuing? Is this a lifelong thing for you? So we'll start with you, Gabriel, and we'll kind of move down the horn.
Yeah, no, I think I'm going to be doing cycling for a long time, if not my life, my entire life. I think it's been a great sport. It's gotten me really fit.
Yeah. How about you, Carter?
Yeah, I'll probably be doing it for a while. My coach thinks that I could do pretty well with this. Oh, sorry. He said I could maybe go on to do this in college and, you know, maybe progress with this more. So I think I'll be doing it for a while, too.
Yeah, I really want to keep doing this for as long as possible. I want to do this for, like, my life. I already race year-round, and I just want to keep going.
Yeah, this is what I want. Like, I want this to be my life. Like, when I get older, I want to have some kind of cycling job. I would like to turn this into my lifestyle.
So yeah, for me it's not necessarily, you know, a lifelong thing, but it's really great fitness. It's a really fun sport. It's really nice people. And then maybe I'll bring it into college. I don't know yet, but you know, doing it in high school is really nice.
Wow, that's interesting that you have that perspective. What do you want to do? What do you want to move forward in?
Well, high school. I want to, or after high school, so in college, I want to be an engineer. So I want to focus on that. So I don't know if. You know, because cycling is a huge commitment. It's 5 to 6 days a week to really be competitive. So I don't know if I'll do it past high school. I don't know if I'll have the time.
Right. Well, and see, that's very interesting of you because that happens, you know, when you go to college and things change. And so it's hard to keep that up. But enjoying being in the present is also important. And so to be in the present, to be competing at a high level, which you are, is fantastic. I want to talk briefly. We have a couple minutes here. I want to talk with you, Jen, about if you want to grab or move to one of the microphones here. Jen is the mother of Mia, and I just wanted to get a parent's perspective on all of this. A parent having to wrangle all of these kids and move and do all of these things. What kind of pressure does that put on you, and what do you think of Mia and what she's done?
Well, you know, we're extremely proud of Mia and the way that she's raised. She's come up so far just in the last year and a half, 2 years. But I have to admit, like, wrangling the kids, it really isn't a problem because they're all so passionate about what they're doing and so excited about doing it that we don't have to convince them to get on the track. You know, oh, it's time to get your stuff. We might have to convince them to be a little speedier getting ready for the track. But no, I mean, they're such great kids that it's not a chore to have to do that.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. And so you are 100% supportive. You understand the passion. You want them to be involved.
We absolutely do. And as parents, myself and the other parents of the kids that are here and the other kids that are on our teams, because you're only seeing a subset of our teams today, the kids who are going to be moving on to nationals. But the parents are as tight of a community as the kids are. So if somebody can't get a ride, you call somebody else. Hey, can you pick somebody up? Can you drag a bike around? You know, so we support each other as much as the kids do. So it really works out nicely for us.
Well, Jen and the entire crew, we have Lucy, Mia, Carter, and Cedric, and Gabriel. Thank you so much for being here today on Generation Now and sharing this incredible story, which I didn't know anything about. And I think it's amazing what you're doing. Continue to put Kenosha on the map in what you're doing with cycling. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you guys also at home for listening to Generation Now. I'm Troy McDonald. This episode will be archived on our website, WGTD.org. On the Generation Now page, go to the search on the website and type in Generation Now, and it will pop up. Thank you so much for tuning in. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
Support for WGTD comes from Elsie May's Bakery and Cannery, featuring homemade beverage mixes. Perfect for summer parties. Varieties include Bloody Mary, Margarita, and Lemonade. Stop